Hey, everybody. Episode 28 of the CCB Health and Fitness Show. I'm your host, Ryan Van Praet, your friendly neighborhood kinesiologist. Today, we're going to talk about nutrition, a topic you don't hear me talk a lot about, and I guess I'll tell you why. All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 28 of the CCB Health and Fitness Podcast. If you had listened to episode 27, what I guess promised was a bit more insight into my own personal eating habits. And sorry if you hear the clatter there in the background. That is Oak running out of the room. He probably thinks the delivery guy is here or something. We're waiting for a Pure Later package, and the clatter means he needs to go get his nails trimmed. Super weird. His nails grow so fast for a dog. It's just very odd. Anyways, I digress. You don't care. So today we're going to talk about nutrition. So if you didn't listen to episode 27, that's okay. If you skipped right to this episode, and this is episode 28, and this is your first episode with me. Hi, welcome. I'm Ryan. We're talking today about nutrition, and you will notice in all 27 previous episodes and in the videos you've watched, I really don't talk a lot about eating, right? Reason being, well, there's a lot of reasons, okay? So I guess the more technical reason is, as a kinesiologist, as a registered kinesiologist, essentially we are the science of the human body in motion and all the things surrounding exercise and health and fitness and wellness. Okay. You tend to gravitate towards things that are sort of more up your alley in terms of where your confidence is, or where your understanding is, or where you're just more interested in your learning, right? So when you go to school, you don't love every subject. There's certain ones you gravitate towards more, etc. In kinesiology, we cover the whole gamut, right? You cover physiology, you cover anatomy, you cover biomechanics, which is the actual, you know, levers and torsion and gravity and balance, etc., right? It's just the human body as a machine. You cover sports injuries, you cover sports psychology, you cover the patterns of learning, how you progress through learning a sport. You cover the psychosocial aspect, which is obviously what I kind of gravitate towards here. It's, you know, the whole motivation, coaching. You know, you can know all the science, but how do you really empower people to get out and be active? You also cover the topics of health and nutrition and proper eating, etc. Admittedly, you know, my area of weakness, it's not to say it's an area of no knowledge, it's just my area of, I've always had a bit of a, you know, head scratching moment trying to really be an expert on the side of nutrition, you know. So kind of my rule of thumb is, if I say something and I tell you guys something and I promote something, I always want to be able to back it up, right? I don't ever want to say something to you just on a whim, and then you call me on it and I say, well, I don't know, I heard it somewhere, right? I don't believe that doesn't make me a healthcare professional. That just makes me some internet jockey that says, hey, I kind of saw something somewhere and I'm going to pass it along to you. That's not really a professional way to go about it, right? So my rule of thumb is, I always expect that I could be called on something at any given time. So if I tell you, you know, do this exercise because I believe it's beneficial to you, I always expect that you could come back and say, well, why? Right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's amazing when people ask questions, because then you understand more, right? Yes, we sometimes need to take things at face value and trust. And I absolutely am so honored that you guys trust my knowledge, because, you know, sometimes I can be maybe a bit goofy sounding, but I'm thankful that you trust in what I'm saying. But that's exactly why I don't say a lot about nutrition, because I'm still a student of it, right? I'm still wrapping my head around all the nuances of it, and it's ever changing. And I know the basics, and I know enough I know enough of the basics that you probably know just as much, right? So I stick to the things that I really, really feel confident in and feel that I can give you the most value, which would be the areas that I really seem to thrive in or enjoy, which would be anatomy, you know, the anatomy of the human body, the biomechanics, you know, the human body in motion, progression of exercise, psychology, psychosocial side, you know, empowerment, feeling part of community, et cetera, how to use health and fitness as a tool to lead an awesome life. But I do get a lot of questions around nutrition and eating. And so again, the one reason I don't say much about it is it's not my area of super confidence. And you know what? I don't feel guilty about that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because that's why you have lots of different professionals. So anytime that topic comes up, I will defer, and I will defer to a couple different resources, and we're going to talk about that in a second. The second reason I don't talk a ton about nutrition is in all honesty, that's my area of weakness. And I use the word weakness loosely, because you know, you don't want to use negative words like it's weakness or point of failure, etc. It's the area that I have to work on the most. And the reason being is I, early on in my athletic career, and right when I came out of university, you know, as a young athlete, sort of in your fitness prime, just graduated with a kinesiology degree. And the information I had with the place I was at in my life, I was the typical jock, not the gym jock going in pumping iron, but the jock in terms of, you know, endurance sports. So the runner or triathlete, but, you know, extremely focused on, you know, how much I weighed and what my body looked like. And just, it was ridiculous in all honesty, because, you know, 20 years down the line, I look back and I'm like, I was borderline anorexic, right? I was so focused on, you know, hey, the skinnier you are, the lighter you are, the faster you are, which there's a tipping point, right? You can't sustain that for months and months and years on end. You know, I thought if you could see every rib, it was amazing, and not so much, right? And I credit a lot of that, you know, pull back 100-mile view to my wife. She came along, she's like, you look sickly. And I'm like, no, I look amazing. Look at, you could see all my ribs and all my muscles and stuff. And yeah, that looks amazing for maybe 2 or 3 months of the year when you're peaking for your absolute best event and you want to be light and lean and fit and sinewy. But it's when it's November and, you know, it's minus 10 outside, it doesn't matter if you can see all my abs or rib cage, etc. And so she was really good at that. And as I learned, you know, because exercise science is still a ever flowing, entity, right? It's always changing. You're always learning new things, and the science is always developing. And as I was really learning too, as I go along, it's actually good and it's okay for your body to have small fluctuations, right? Especially in high-end athletics, you can't maintain that super lean aspect for the whole year. Your body needs to, you know, learn to vary its metabolism and kind of, it needs recovery, right? It's like you do a hard workout, you need to recover. Well, your body needs that recovery too. It needs a little bit of downtime. And that doesn't mean that you need to just binge and eat junk food, but it does mean that it's okay to put on an extra pound or two, right? And have a little bit more insulation, as I like to call it. But obviously, again, there's that balance, right? We don't want to lead an unhealthy lifestyle and have, you know, too much body fat. You know, there's obviously health risks with that. But essentially what I was learning is, you know, I had a misguided view of what proper nutrition should be like. You know, I had a misguided view of body image, and food was, you know, I'd eat a ton because I was active a ton, and I was a young 20-something-year-old and my metabolism was really high. I'd eat a ton, but I still was always wary about, well, you know, is that body fat on me, etc., right? And it was just this misguided view that over the last, you know, 20 years or so is really calmed down, right? And I've become a lot better at really recognizing where my deficiencies are. You know, I didn't drink a lot early in my 20s. I was really super duper active and I just didn't really like alcohol. But as I grow older, you know, I'm growing older. I like my wine. I like beer. You know, I don't think I drink to excess by any means. I think I'm, you know, average per se, but it was certainly something that adds a lot of extra calories. So, you know, it was one thing now that, that really you have to keep an eye on. So the motivation here today was to, is to show you that, you know, sometimes you need to take that 100-mile view of where you are in terms of your lifestyle factors. And we covered that in episode 27 about writing down what your exercise is. Taking that step back and saying, okay, we're going to have an honest look here about what we're actually doing. And I've always written down and I've always really been vigilant on my activity level ever since I started being an athlete. But only in the last handful of years, as my body weight has crept up, but actually crept up to a more healthy level. You can't see every rib I have right now. And, you know, you're not maintaining sinewy body structure all year long or hardly at all. Now it's more of a healthier looking body. So my wife is much happier. And in all honesty, I've become to realize that I am actually much healthier than I was probably 10 years ago when I was 10 or 12 pounds lighter. I just, you know, I was just skin and bone and muscle, and that's fine, but it wasn't fine for very long. So really I'm taking that step back now and learning about nutrition. And that's one of the other reasons I don't talk a lot about it, because I certainly don't feel like I am any more of an authority on proper eating than you would probably even be for yourself, right? All the stuff that I go by and in the sort of middle of the road law of averages kind of approach I take towards eating is most likely the one that you would take as well. I don't follow any specific routine or any specific diet per se. I try to eat middle of the road. And that's really what I try to pass along to individuals that ask me about nutrition. So, you know, it's not my area of expertise. You know, I'm in terms of kinesiology, I'm far more apt at other aspects, and I feel I can create more value on other parts of the kinesiology field than nutrition. And that's also because I still struggle a bit with what my nutrition is like. So if you reach out to me and you say, hey, Ryan, you know what? What should I be eating? Like, what should I be doing? You know, is this food good or is this food bad? And what about the cholesterol and what about the et cetera? I would, with all honesty, say, you know what? My knowledge and my middle of the road approach is what any doctor would tell you. And it's, you know, follow the Canadian Food Guide, because I think, you know, for most of us, a middle of the road approach is going to be good enough. Unless you have any specific dietary restrictions or allergies, following that middle of the road approach, and what I mean by middle of the road is, again, the Canada Food Guide, right? The thing that we all know is, you know, eat your vegetables, eat your fruits, eat a moderate amount of grains, a moderate amount of proteins, a moderate amount of dairy, and a very little amount of, you know, alcohol and sugar. What do most North Americans eat? Well, we eat generally a lot of sugar, a lot of alcohol, a lot of protein, maybe very low on the fruits and vegetables, and really a lot of grains, right? So for most of us, it's just this, it's just trying to level out that teeter-totter, right? So if you envision a teeter-totter and it's tipped really hard one way, and that way might be towards the sugary, carbohydrate-y, alcohol-y side of things, and we want to balance that out, well, then it's just, you know, trying to put a little bit more of those vegetables and fruits and healthy proteins and healthy fats on the other side to kind of balance out that teeter-totter. And that's really the middle-of-the-road kind of approach that I take. I don't personally believe that there is a specific diet that one should endeavor to do. I think everybody's body is really, really different. And I don't think there's a problem with experimenting a little bit, right? There are certain things that, you know, I feel confident in saying that, you know, a all candy, all beer diet is not going to be very good for you, right? but I'm not going to get into the specifics of vegan, you know, all plant-based, or the Atkins, all meat-based. I think there's the ketogenic diet now, which is making a rage, which is mostly more fats-based, I believe. You know, they tend to be a little bit more pointed in their approaches, in what they say you should or should not eat. So my advice, if you were to come and ask me, is basically let's look at the obvious, right? Obviously, fruits and vegetables are going to be better for you. They contain far more nutrients, far more vitamins than, you know, a bottle of beer or a pile of potato chips, right? There's just, I mean, I don't think a lot of people are going to debate that, right? So let's work with the obvious. The obvious answers are that fruits and vegetables are going to be better for you, right? I don't think a lot of people debate that. I think where the debate comes along is in terms of the dairy, the carbohydrates, and how much fats and protein to get. So if we look at the conclusion that, okay, fruits and vegetables are pretty darn helpful for us, and I think most people are pretty in agreement with that, the next thing coming down the line would be, okay, protein. Okay, do we want, you know, red meats? Do we want lean meats like chicken and turkey and fish? I think most people, again, would agree that the lean proteins are generally going to be your better bet, right? They're less fatty. They're really dense protein. Most people are going to say that's your better bet, all right? So again, this is me looking at how do you kind of live that middle of the road, in general, what are your best options, right? So if you give me a greasy hamburger versus a chicken breast, choices are that chicken breast is going to generally be healthier for you. Again, you take into account, is it covered in sauce or gravy, etc. But I mean, let's just, for face value, let's just say, you know, the chicken breast is going to be better, okay? So we've established that fruits and vegetables are good. We've established that lean proteins are good. I think most people will agree that healthy oils like olive oil, oils that you get from nuts, you know, almonds and whatnot, are generally good as well, and nuts are good in protein as well. So these are generally, again, fairly agreed upon sources of nutritious food, right? Then as we come back even further, you're going to look at the whole debate over carbohydrates. And I'm not going to get into that, because if you have a friend who is an endurance athlete, probably the vast majority of those endurance athletes are carbohydrate-loving individuals, right? We love rice, we love pasta, we love potatoes, etc. We love the starches. I tend to struggle a lot with that. That tends to be my big, I don't want to say weakness, because, again, there's not a lot wrong with it, because, you know, you certainly need a lot of carbohydrates in the endurance world. It's just the amount that I eat. So we'll get into that in a second. I'll give you a little bit better picture of what my daily diet is. So for some, that might make you feel better or make you feel worse. I don't know, but you'll kind of see that I'm human as well. So again, establish that fruits and vegetables are good. Lean meats are good. Carbohydrates, good, but in moderate amounts. And it depends, again, on what activity you're doing and you know, what your goals are. And then pulling back further to dairy, well, I'm not even going to get into that, because I mean, I love dairy, right? I love milk. I drink milk, 1% milk, insane amounts. Love chocolate milk. Most people I know love ice cream, yogurt, etc. Cheese. I'm not a huge cheese fan. My wife loves cheese. But again, I'm not going to... Dairy is a staple in our household, but obviously there's people with compelling arguments why dairy is not necessarily the best for them. But for me, dairy works. I think going back even further to the other end of the argument, now we're into the sweets, the sugars, the alcohol. It's really hard here for anybody, I feel, to make a really good argument why sugars and alcohol is going to be good for you. Yeah, you know, you get the argument of, well, a piece of dark chocolate is good for you. Okay, a piece, right? I think it's like an inch by inch or something, they say. A glass of red wine is good for you. Okay, a glass. So I will raise my hand and admit that I've used that argument. Hey, a glass of red wine's great. Yeah, a glass, not three, right? So, you know, this is sort of the way I look at nutrition. Okay, I look at law of averages, the sort of more general agreed upon statements. You're going to get arguments in so many different directions. People weighing a lot heavier on the more proteins and fats. People weighing a lot heavier on the more plant-based, non-animal-based, non-dairy lifestyle. More fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, stuff like that. My advice here is really look at it in that broad scale like I just did. You know, what is generally going to give you the most nutrition? Then look at it in terms of what you like and what you need. So what you like, if you don't really like a lot of dairy, okay, well, what does dairy give you? It gives you calcium, right? There's some fats in there, etc. Can you get that nutrition in other foods? And if you can, awesome. Okay, then there's not a huge issue with going without dairy, right? If you don't like fruits as much, and we're going to talk about this in a second, then look at what you're missing and see if you can get that in other forms of your food. And it's okay to experiment. I think that's where a lot of people really become very, I don't want to say argumentative, but very, very astute in their arguments towards what food group or what diet choice they really like. It's like me arguing about a pair of running shoes or a piece of sporting equipment. You know, you tend to be very affirmative or aggressive maybe in what you really believe is the best shoe or the best, you know, bike or what is the best diet, etc. So that's fine. You know, you're going to find out what works best for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think, you know, as a kinesiologist, you know, my job would be to say to you, let's look at it the way we just looked at it a few minutes ago. What is going to give you the most benefit? What in the law of averages is most nutritious and, you know, is going to do the best for your body over the long term? You know, I would also, as a kinesiologist, say, okay, are you allergic to anything? You know, do we need any specifics? And if you said to me, you know, Ryan, I'm really adamant about following this one specific diet, right? I tend to look at things as keeping that teeter-totter as level as possible. I don't feel that in my knowledge base, there's a need to go in one specific direction or another. However, I don't think there's a reason to stop somebody from going in one specific direction or another, as long as it's working for them, right? You know, the Atkins diet, you can have arguments for and against. The plant-based diet, arguments for and against. The vegetarian diet, for and against. I think the only direction I would certainly stop people from going for would be the Pop-Tarts and vodka diet. You know what I mean? Like, there, I can't obviously professionally say that that's viable, right? But because that is not my area of specific expertise, you know, my job in my profession is to you to just take that broad look and make sure you're keeping that teeter-totter as balanced as possible. Then if you said to me, you know, I'm really specifically wanting to go in one direction or another, then what I would do is I would refer you to, you know, to a dietitian or registered dietitian in your area. I would encourage you to go and have a consult with them because, I mean, they live and breathe that. We had a wonderful dietitian that I worked with a few years ago. I mean, she has her master's, right? Like just, we always felt embarrassed eating lunch in front of her because we're thinking, man alive, she's going to think we eat terribly. It's probably what people think when, you know, they come and exercise with, you know, people who like to exercise like me. They're probably like, oh, he's judging. And we don't, right? We don't judge. We're just pumped that you're exercising. And the dietitian's the same, right? They're not going to judge and go, oh, you're horrible. They're pumped for you that you even came for that consult and that you're looking to further your knowledge, right? So, I mean, I would ask questions all the time. So, you know, professional kinesiologist hat on here. I would say to you, if you ask me about nutrition advice is we're going to take that broad look and, you know, try to make sure you're getting a good balance of all the nutrients that are out there. And if you had specific beliefs in one direction or another, that's awesome. You will not get an argument out of me because I don't feel learned enough in one specific topic or another, you know, like the ketogenic diet or a vegetarian diet or the Atkins diet. Like, I don't feel, I'm not going to be the one that's going to argue with you. What I'm going to do is say, you know what, it's not my area of expertise. I'm going to refer that you go see a registered dietitian. Yes, there's nutritionists. There's some amazing nutritionists out there, so don't get me wrong, and we're not going to bash on that. Registered dietitians tend to have that more in-depth schooling and generally master's degrees, etc. And like they really, really dive down into the very science of eating. So I would prefer that people go to a registered dietitian first, but there are some amazing, amazing nutritionists out there and have some great insight. I think the key is when you go see a nutritionist and or a registered dietitian, you want to look at the same things like you would get from me. And that's people that would take that 100-mile view and try to get as much information about you as possible and try to find what works best for you. If you go in and somebody is very pointed about, you need to do this, you know, and this is the only way, you know, that raises red flags for me. And you notice we don't do that a lot here on the Health and Fitness Show. Because there is no one size fits all. There's very wonderful ways to work out, but you really have to take into account a lot of different factors. So make sure you take that into account as well when you look for a registered dietitian or a nutritionist, right? They should be taking your whole situation into account. So that's really why you don't hear me talk a lot about nutrition is, you know, it's something that I'm continuing to work through and I don't feel that I can provide incredible value to you. I can give you, you know, some very basic arguments on it. but a lot of the stuff that I follow is probably the stuff that you follow as well. But I'm not going to be one to argue, you know, really pointed dietary choices because that's just not my area. And that's fine, right? So I would encourage you, if you have a really specific dietary want or need or theory, go to somebody whose whole profession is surrounding diet and nutrition. So, you know, and you know, as we mentioned, it's something that I struggle with. So, you know, I want, just like in exercise, I want people to know that, you know, this is not something that came easily to me, and it doesn't usually come easily to the majority of people who you see in the high end of sports, right? They have to work at it, right? And there's people who are crazy athletes who eat horribly, right? They eat horribly. Like, I think Michael Phelps ate McDonald's all the time. And, you know, it always kind of boggled my mind that the Olympic Village, there was a McDonald's. And again, we're not bashing McDonald's because they've come a long way, but they were never usually known for their most amazing healthy food. But certainly they are as every fast food place is, making very big inroads into making sure that they provide really healthy options. But, you know, what I'm basically getting at is everybody struggles with one area or another. So, you know, me, what are my struggles? You know, I said I'd have an Oprah moment and step out here. You will, I'm okay to be teased about it because it is in my family, but I don't like fruit. I don't. And you're like, oh my God, he doesn't like fruit. I just don't. Like, I don't like the texture. I'm very texture-based in the foods that I like. I like fruit sauces. I like fruit juices. I can eat dried fruit. I can eat applesauce, stuff like that. Smoothies aren't too bad because it's all blended up. So it's not the aversion to the taste. It's more the texture in fruit that really gets me. And, you know, as proof, in a little bit of a side story, in Ironman, when you're on the run course, you know, late in the day, and you know, you're just trying to put anything down your gullet that'll go in because it's any sort of calories, any sort of sugars, etc., just to keep you going. Oftentimes, not very healthy sugars, but that's a story for another day. You know, I was so hungry and so desperate for calories on occasions, you would take the orange slices they're handing out, and I'm just like, I'll eat it, and I couldn't even do it. I'm just dying for calories, just couldn't even do it. It's just a texture thing. So I would say that's probably my very biggest nutrition, you know, I don't want to say shameful moment, but the thing that I'm not happy about it, right? I know I'm missing out on a lot of great things when it comes to fruit, but it's something that it just is what it is, and I can't get past it, right? I'm a lot better at the vegetables than I used to be 20 years ago, and my sister-in-law was really accredited for that when we were overseas and we had Thai food, and I always joke that if you put any vegetable in Thai food, I'll eat it. I just love it. And so that's a great way to go for me. And that's a little bit of a trick, right? Is trying to find what sort of delivery mechanism you can tolerate, for maybe the foods that you're not as pumped about. So I'm way better with my vegetables. Yeah. Still lots of room for improvement. You know, the funny thing is my wife and I, we very much differ in the vegetables that we like. So it's tricky as well to cook, the vegetables, because we tend to like the very opposite vegetables, which is fine. Love dairy. I love milk. Love milk. You know, I could live on just milk probably. I probably could drink more water, but I tend to do okay. You know, being athletic, being active, you tend to drink water. But that's another important point is to make sure you hydrate above and beyond just the general amount of liquid that you take in during your exercise, because you need more than just the amount that tries to rehydrate you. So like if you're on the bike and you're just drinking water to hydrate you, great. Well, you've drank water, but you're really only just trying to replace what you've lost. So you really need to drink more water after the fact to hydrate you even further. Okay. If that makes any sense. So, you know, that's another area I could probably drink a little bit more water. As discussed earlier, I love my red wine. One glass is supposed to be good for you. Yeah. Well, we'll maybe go a little bit over that. So that's my thing to work on maybe, but you know, nothing excessive. You know, carbohydrates, anybody who knows me, that's not a secret. I used to love pasta, used to be a huge pasta guy, and now I'm just really, really huge into rice. So not necessarily the minute rice, we have like the basmati rice or the jasmine rice that you cook in the pot. But what my wife and I are really looking at now is trying to get more of the whole grains or the brown rices, stuff with a little more oomph to it in terms of nutrition, right? The white starches and stuff, we all know it's I kind of refer to it as cotton candy. There's, you know, it's just blanched white bread and pastas and stuff. It's just not, there's really not a lot of nutrient in it. It's mostly just quick starches that, you know, for endurance athletes, it's always been really great. But, you know, if you eat that a lot, it's not packing you with a lot of fiber and a lot of extra, right? So you just got to be really careful on that. So I'm a huge carb fan. Love rice. Still enjoy pasta. Love potatoes. Love crackers. I mean, just love crackers. Just saltine crackers. I'm you know, some people have a sweet tooth. I have a salt tooth, which you know, most of the time's okay. It's not way overboard, but that's something, again, I have to work on. You know, I wouldn't say that my sweet tooth is something I have to work on. I just don't. I could pass up, you know, a piece of cake. If you had you know, a handful of potato chips or like a pound of chocolate cake, I'd probably take the handful of potato chips. It's just what I prefer, right? So, you know, I'm generally okay in terms of sweets. I don't crave candy or pop or ice cream or whatever. You know, I'm more the salty kind of guy. So, you know, and that's kind of an insight into, you know, what I work on. I mean, for meats, love meats. You know, I grew up on a farm, so I was always a meat and potato kind of guy. That's how we kind of grew up. So I love the majority of meat. I try to deal with the more lean ground beef, not ground beef, lean ground chicken or ground turkey. If we're making, you know, certain casseroles or whatever, I love turkey. I love chicken. I would prefer pork over beef. partially because I don't seem to digest beef very well, but we won't get into that. It's a bit too personal. But again, it's you know, I'm trying to take that broad scope and say, okay, what are the things that are going to give me the overall best kind of nutrition here? So 1% milk, you know, it's not a lot of fat in the milk. Lean meats like chicken and turkey, we try to eat that. We try to have the mixed green salads, especially in the summer. We try to eat a lot more of that. My wife loves salmon. I'm not a big salmon guy, but she loves, well, I'm not a salmon guy at all. I don't really like fish, but my wife loves it. Potatoes, we don't really eat a ton of those anymore. And if we do, you know, it's the little baby potatoes, etc. Vegetables, we're eating as much as we can and trying to find the ones that we like. You know, broccoli, we're both okay with. We like corn and peas. And we both are really big into beans now, like the various chickpeas and black beans and stuff like that. Rice, we try to find the healthier rice options. So brown rice, wild grain rice, etc. Our snacks, well, you know, my wife's got the sweet tooth. She'll go after the candy. I'll go after maybe the potato chips. Popcorn's really huge for me. I'm a big popcorn guy, but anyways, it's, you know, the point of this is to sort of show that this is something that I work on and I aim to improve upon. And so it's just trying to make the best choices you can. And so episode 27 was all about, you know, writing down your exercise and making the best choices with exercise, you know, and just doing the best you can. And it's the same thing here with nutrition. So, you know, there's that law of averages, there's that, you know, that sort of balanced approach. And then if you really have a specific requirement or need or theory or want, then it's really going to the people that are absolute experts in diet and nutrition, which would be the registered dietitians or the nutritionists. And it's to show that, you know, I might be seen to be excessive in my exercise or love exercise, but it's certainly something I have to work on in terms of nutrition. And as I grow older, I'm a lot more mindful of it too. You know, as your metabolism slows down and et cetera. So that's kind of our talk on nutrition, and certainly I welcome questions and I can certainly help you to the best of my ability, but don't be shocked if I don't get into an argument with you, or not an argument, a discussion with you about the very specifics of veganism or plant-based diet or ketogenic diet or Atkins diet. Like I've learned over the many years being the youngest, you don't get into an argument in a topic that you don't know the facts about, because it just discredits you, right? And so I'm not gonna debate things that I don't feel knowledgeable in, because there's no point, right? It's arguing just for arguing. So if it's something that I don't know about in terms of diet or nutrition and in exercise, I'm not going to give you that advice. I'm going to point you in the direction that you need. But I'm still loving to have those discussions, because I still love to hear your theories and your insights, because, you know, it's about mutual learning as well. And I'm at the point with nutrition that I'm also learning from you guys as well. So I really appreciate your insights and what works for you, and tell me why it works for you, right? If you had, you know, stomach problems and now you've eaten certain things or excluded certain things and you feel way better, certainly share that. I mean, that's amazing. It's great to hear your stories. So certainly do that. Sort of the last thing today is one of the discussions I had with one of our new local champions. I won't use his name, but he's very knowledgeable and very up to date on all the various nutrition items. You know, he's taken to learning about it over the past little while, and is very confident in you know, the direction that he feels is working best for him. But he's also really good in understanding that's not, you know, for everybody. But he was sharing a website and an app that I, you know, that I checked out. And I'm very careful. You know, you don't want to promote something that is very pointed, right? So he suggested this app called nutritionfacts.org. And he gave me a lot of different reasons why this was a great website. And in all honesty, I went to it thinking, okay, you know, this is going to be a very pointed direction and opinion. And yes, it is swayed very much in terms of, you know, plant-based diet and why that is good. But in all honesty, it really is about the sort of law of averages, eat the things that you know are generally going to be more nutritionally dense, right? And this individual on there, the doctor, I can't remember his name currently, but the doctor who runs the website, he's very, he seems very knowledgeable. His whole life was dedicated to, or his whole recent life is dedicated towards actual debunking of various nutritional theories and nutritional diet fads, and really just putting out pure fact. And he shares all the research that he does, right? And he's willing to share all the, you know, the research that he has done. And I find that good, right? I find that very open and very honest that he's not sort of hiding his intent or skewing things. This doctor is very confident in his particular opinion, but what I've found really refreshing is that he, even after he gives his very specific opinion, he is still, you know, looking at it from a broad scheme of things, going, you know what, in all honesty, yes, this is my opinion of how you should eat, but really what it's about is just making those balanced life choices. And so I really do think it's a good option to take a look at. There's a lot of really good videos on there, and I found it very informative. So nutritionfacts.org, take a look. It's free. It's a free resource. It's really, really, I found it really, really good. So I think we could certainly promote that to you guys. And then there's an app that they promote as well called the Daily Dozen. So in this doctor's, I guess, theory, he says there's, you know, a dozen different food items each day that you should be intaking. And they created an app that really help you keep track of that. Again, if you want to get down that specific, yeah, that's up to you, you know, that you feel you need to have these 12 things every day. I'm not going to officially say that that's what you need. But it's at least pointed, it's steering the ship, it's directing the train down the tracks in at least the proper direction, right? He's very much about that, you know, general balanced approach and making sure that you're putting things in your body that are going to be generally nutritionally good for you. So that's called the Daily Dozen, I believe the app is called. So take a look at that as well. So that's one of our longer chats today, and I really wanted to sort of uncover and disclose a bit more about that and really let you know why, you know, it's not a topic we talk about a lot. It's certainly a topic I'm willing to talk about with you, but it's not something that I find I'm going to give you the absolute best value ever. But certainly, if you have more questions and you don't know where to turn, I will work with you and help find those resources in your area, because within our network as well, you know, our health education network, certainly we can help find dietitians or nutritionists in your area. So, you know, as with exercise, you know, I follow that same sort of rule of thumb with nutrition. It's the law of averages. Keep it down the middle. Keep yourself on average doing the things that are most healthful for you. And if you want to skew one way or another occasionally, you know, that's fine. You know, we all have to take a slightly different path through this life, but it's about making as many good choices as possible and not beating yourself up if you, you know, you make some of the maybe not so amazing choices in terms of food, nutrition, or exercise, because, you know, we're all there. I'm there. It's just we do the best we can. So that's episode 28. I really thank you for hanging in there and amusing me with, you know, listening to my approach on nutrition and diet. Keep the conversation going. Ask any questions you have. Fire off an email, ccb.healthandfitness@gmail.com. And yeah, let's keep chugging along together and get into spring and wait for all those amazing fresh fruits and vegetables. Well, you can wait for the fresh fruits. I'll take on the fresh vegetables. So that's us for episode 28. Have an awesome day. We'll talk to you again soon.